you're doing.
Harass him.
I don't care. Yeah, so let's keep it moving. Like we're saying, the Khmer Ant Arc, we were giving y'all the backstory, okay? So there's this area called the Dark Continent, and that's where anything that can destroy humanity or where several good things that can save humanity all exist. But the whole thing is, this area is completely unstable. There's so much evil there, so much things that, you know, you can't fathom. There have been a total of 20, what was it? How many? It's been like a million expeditions there, but it's only been like 5 people who survived, or 28 people who survived out of all these expeditions. And those people are like Nitero, his son, Beyond Nitero, and like one of the older Zoldics, who's actually older than Zeno. I think he's like Maha, and then the one after him. It's only been like 5 people maintain their sanity after going and coming back successfully. So y'all get the gist. This area is super bad. And in this area, there is this ant known as the Khmer Ant. But here's the thing. Kite, the guy who we're telling y'all about, who trained under Jing, which is the father of Gon, who's Gon is seeking, he's part of the Beast Hunters style, the Beast Hunters. And so he was part of a group that was, you know, looking for abnormal animals, you know, beasts, hunting them down, etc. But they found this Khmer Ant Claw. Except the thing is, it's in this country called NGL. We can give you the backstory of that another time. But the thing is, this is way bigger than a normal ant. Like, it was human-sized. Like, maybe bigger than a human. And so it's super, super rare for these Khmer ants to reach this size. The thing with Khmer ants, the way they reproduce is, like James alluded to earlier, whenever they have, whatever they consume, the genetics come out in their children of the queen, whatever she eats. So she started off eating fish and animals, and then one day her soldier ants she sent out, who were getting her food because she's trying to birth a king, they went out and killed some humans. And that, you guys can fill it in, sort of like Xenomorph. You can sort of the same way Alien, if anybody's watched any of the Alien anthology, or Prometheus in that case, Prometheus 1 or 2, you know that Xenomorphs, all the things that they kill and they consume, the queen reproduces them with those same type of characteristics. It's the same thing here, same genetics. So yeah, so as a result, these Khmer ants started reproducing and they became like humans, able to think, talk, communicate like us, use guns. Literally, at one point, the Khmer ants were walking around with like Uzis and handguns, killing everybody.
Sniper.
danger this was going to humankind. So Kite, you know, they started trying to take him out, you know, one by one. And so Kite enlisted, he allowed Gon and Killua to come with him, you know, going to use it as a training example in the meantime.
Right.
So they're making their way through. Remember this, y'all. You know how much ants reproduce in general. So just imagine a giant human-sized ant just keeps on popping out more and more ants. And mind you, these ants are the size of humans as well. Yeah, and they're getting smarter and stronger because they're based off of us. At this point in the show, you know there are humans out there who have nin and special powers and abilities. So now the ants are starting to get them too, besides the other ants who are just using guns like regular schmegular. So she eventually gives birth to the 3 royal guards, who are the strongest characters in the entire show at that point.
Yep.
And generally, this thing is not out of control. You can't call an exterminator. If you're going to call somebody, who are you going to call? The hunters. And so Kite has, Kite's already called it in, but said he was going to try to take care of it. But if he saw a guy out of control, this would go on and kill you with their way to the queen, because they thought there was a span before she would give birth to the king. Obviously, be the strongest being in the world at the raping. But Kite, man, Kite had one of the coldest nin abilities too, dude. That crazy
bro,
slot.
Toughest abilities.
Dog, I wanted to see crazy slot so bad.
It was always exactly what he needed. And it was funny because he was always mad at what he got. Everything was always a bad roll. But literally, he always got the perfect ability that he needed.
Yeah, man. I was hoping there was potential. I don't know, man. We only got to see like 3 things. I was wanting to see some. I was wanting him to teach the ability to somebody else, which is crazy because Jing taught him that ability.
Yeah.
So, and they say Jing is one of the Nidoro said during that arc actually that Jing is one of the 5 strongest ninja users in the world. He said he was barely in the top 45 now because he was old. He said though back in the day though, obviously, you know what I'm saying, that he was, you know, the top user. But you know, we'll get into that. So anyway, back to where we are. So now Jing has been using his crots, and Killua and Gon have been helping him exterminate the ants. They've been going through like one by one, essentially finding these squadrons and all these big groups of the ants that are like organized and taking them out, you know what I'm saying, one by one, taking them out squadron by squadron and all that, until they come across one of these insanely powerful royal guard ants who's there to protect the king who hasn't been born yet, so they're still protecting the queen. And that one is Pitu.
Hate her, man.
Man. Oh, fun fact. I think we're actually supposed to refer to her as they. She's supposed to be non-binary. I don't know. Don't ask me how I found that out, but yeah, apparently it is a they. And they immediately rip off Kites. He rolls for a mace. And that's that. He tells Gon in a... Kill you, well, you know, to get out of there, go back to the border and inform the Hunter Association so they can take the next steps. And Gon, as we all know, gets when he gets emotionally with his friends,
he doesn't listen.
He gets insanely strong too in the same vein.
True.
So
yeah, but he was not ready. Gon was not ready for what would be toasted.
Killua literally had to knock him out. And it was crazy because later on we would see Kite's head, you know, with Pitu.
Right.
It hurt me, man. That hurt me. But y'all think it hurt you? Like, it's going to hurt what's his name way more.
He's going to get away, bro. Kai's going to get away. Like, it's going to be okay. He did not get away. Well, in a sense, but.
He did eventually, I guess you could say, if we want to be real.
Yeah.
But, you know. I don't know, man. That hurt me. You think it hurt you, it hurts going way worse, and we'll get to that. And so now we're speeding up the Hunter Association. They're getting like pressure to take out the ants too. You know what I'm saying? By the folks with all the money, y'all. So let's recap. We got these giant mutant ants who are eating humans, killing humans at a huge rate. Like they're about to send this whole country extinct. Yeah, exactly. They're about to like kill off everybody, bro. Like they're going to keep expanding and spreading. They've already almost decimated a full country of its humans. Okay, so the hunters sent in, you know, Kite was there initially with the biological group who accidentally stumbled across this problem. Okay. Then, you know, he gets killed and he sends off Killua and Gon to go get more reinforcements. And so the Hunter Association say, okay, we're going to send the best of the best. We're going to send the chairman himself. Right. Nidoro. He comes down with Morel and who's the other dude with the portal ability?
I forgot his name. He a mark.
Oh, yeah. That dude, man, that dude got stressed. He literally lost all his hair.
Yeah, all his hair.
You feel bad, man. Honestly. That shit depressed me. It was so powerful, man. Let me look up his name.
Let me see. What is his name?
Oh, I'm clicking in there now. Is that the Chimera Ant Arc? Sorry, y'all. We looking things up. Making sure we fact checking.
They don't even show. Hey.
Okay, here we go. Nav was his name. Because you have Isaac Nidoro, the chairman, Moro Macronasi, and Nav. That was the extermination crew sent down by the Hunters Association to take care of it. And if you guys remember, the Nidoro was the one who was playing the keep away game, the ball from Killua and Gon. Okay, so now they done brought in the big guns. But the thing is, they knew 3 people wouldn't be enough. They thought they had 2 months, though, to kill off the queen. They thought they had 2 months to kill off the queen. But they knew they needed 2 more. So then the thing was, who are we going to take? Are we going to take Morel's 2 apprentices, which is Knuckles, who, if you watch Yu Yu Hakusho, Knuckles is the same person as Kuwabara, basically. Literally.
Yeah.
Looks and all. Just black hair. I like, literally, if you... I just watched the Dark Tournament Saga in the final. the outfit that Kuwabara wears is the exact same one that Knuckles wears regularly. Yeah. So they've been dressed the same way. Like when they fight, they keep the pants all the way up, but take off it. They're like identical. But this is the same creator. He created both shows. So, I mean, so
it's okay. You know, do that.
Yeah. Okay. So now we got, you got Knuckles and then you got Shoot, who are the two apprentices of Morel. Yeah. And then you got Nob's one apprentice is Palm,
who is also a beast.
Right. Crazy. So they're like, they're trying to decide who are going to be the final two who will be part of the extermination group. And they're like, you know, you guys fight for it. They're like, clearly Killua and Gon weren't ready yet, but they might be ready. So they gave them 30 days because they thought they had 2 months, y'all. Remember that. That's very important. So you got, what's her name comes back from the Greed Island arc to train them some more.
Biscuit.
Yeah. Biscuit comes back again to train some more. And so while they're training, they're getting to see the powers of Knuckles and Shoot and Palm, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, Nidoroh, Morel, and Nov are scouting and they're starting to take the ants out one by one along the way themselves anyway.
Yep.
They're trying to whittle down the numbers because remember, they think they have 2 months. But
yeah, before the king.
But the king was a preemie. He came way early, way more violently. And so the timeline gets sped up infinitely faster. And at the end of the 30 days, Gon and Killua have done enough to make the team. And they also take along Knuckles, Shoot, and Palm. And so that being said, they start scouting and planning for an invasion. And that's when you see most of the ants that are born as part of the human, with the human traits and human offspring, have had, they remember their lives. They're essentially reincarnations of the humans who were killed. So they remember all their lives before, you know, before they got killed by the ants. And so these personality traits come out in a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so as a result, after the king is born, like we said, the king comes out of the womb, dude is violent. Like, dude ripped his way out of the womb. Like, super early.
Killed his mom.
That dude was it's crazy because I don't feel that way now, but y'all see why. He just came out the womb with the BS. You know what I'm saying? He was a germ, certainly. And as a result, most of the ants, their loyalty was to the queen. Aside from the royal guard, whose sole purpose was, you know, to protect the king, the rest of the ants, their purpose was to serve the queen. No queen, they have no point in existing. You know what I mean? So they start defecting because they see how cruel the king is. He's killing everybody. Like, he says over and over, I will not repeat myself.
Literally just, you know, one dude just picks him up and come here. He hesitated, or like he was trying to check on the queen, and he literally just cut his head off immediately. Like, without any hesitation.
Yeah, he'd be beating the brakes off of his guards, too.
Yeah.
Like, anybody can get it.
Hey, he has
the strongest being.
He's piss-slapped all the guards a couple times.
Yeah, he don't care about nothing. But, I mean, he can do that because he's that much stronger than everybody. Yeah. So, I mean, it's only somebody where there's really nothing anybody could do. But with that being said, y'all, now the whole timeline is sped up. You know, they have to take care of him quickly before things get out of hand. And this is where the real character development starts, because we see other ants we've seen being cruel and hunting humans, some of them who are now defecting to join the Hunter Association and taking care of the king. We're seeing their character traits come out more and more in their backstories and stuff, which is awesome. And then we see the setting up and the planning of, you know, the invasion to kill the king.
Right.
Everybody knows the main thing that needs to happen is Isaac Nidoroh, the chairman, needs to get a one-on-one with the Ant King. They believe he can beat him, which is crazy.
But yeah, except the strongest hunter in the Hunter Association was like, all right, if anybody can do it, he can. And
it was just, I really enjoyed, you know, with the characters in here, I really enjoyed Morel, his abilities with the pipe.
Yeah.
Dude, like, he's mad strong.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed it. He's a thinker too, bro.
Yeah. I liked his fight with, Leo, the lion.
Yeah. He did good with Chitu as well.
Yeah.
Real good with him. He held his own versus Shia Poof.
Yeah.
So if he had been out of Nin and like completely spent, he might have done decent versus the big red ant, you know, the other royal guard, I forgot his name.
Yuppie.
Yeah, Yuppie. He might be evolving too.
Yeah, Yuppie kept getting a lot stronger. I liked Yuppie the most. He was my favorite out of the Royal Guard. I also think Yuppie was the one that kind of had the most human. One, he interacted the most with like people, with his fights. But like he had to think a lot about his purpose and, you know, him being alive, what he was doing with that. Mm-hmm. So, like, that aspect was really dope. I think like even Pito, she showed some in terms of how she like cared for the king and loved him and like saw his love for Kamugi. But Yuppie was dope. How he learned how to be a better fighter
and control his anger.
Yeah,
you know. The character. This is some of the greatest character development I've ever seen in cartoons and maybe in TV. Yo, is this Shakir?
Yeah, million.
I didn't think he was gonna make it, y'all, but here he is.
I was having issues. Every time I joined, it like kicked me out.
Yeah, because you're late. You got to take 4 to get into the frat house, man.
Oh, God. Please, no more. Please.
We're talking about the development of the three Royal Guards. You know, mm-hmm. their character development is human, so if you want to chime in there.
Okay. I kind of came in late, but I was hearing what James was saying. Yeah, we saw their development as like individuals, in my opinion. I can never pronounce his name wrong, but the red one.
James just got it right for me. I messed up too.
Cause his name is longer than that, but I remember.
But they always did the short version. That,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got number time. It's all good. I can't stress enough.
Everybody else had that much development to me. The way we saw him at the end was the way he was at the beginning. Whereas his companion, the one with the butterfly wings, really saw a lot of it, like him really going into his position. And then even with Marion, we saw him going from like the cocky ant king to somewhat human and like caring about like humans, mainly Kamugi.
I don't know, cause I was with James. I thought he became like his moment at the end with Morel and Knuckles and them, like prioritizing his word when he could have easily slaughtered the group. I thought that was huge character development. Cause any other time he would have just killed everybody.
What's it? Poof. I think Poof also had a lot of character development.
Yeah, he had great development for me.
I think the thing though is I think we heard from Poof more than any of the other Royal Guards, just because we heard him talk so much. Honestly, it was kind of annoying for me to an extent, because
yeah, Poof was kind of annoying. Yeah, because in Poof, it came off like Poof was in love with the king or something.
Yeah, and honestly, he kind of was. And like they explained, you know, why. You know, they kind of have those feelings in terms of like why you're supposed to protect them and all that stuff. But it was interesting, basically. But
yeah. Now I will say this: I really was curious, like if he would have killed Kamugi, I think the king would have killed him.
Oh, without question, it would have been on site.
Like, I think, cause like, you know, when he was going to and he grabbed his own hand. Because you could tell the king was changing just through like their first interactions. Like you could tell the king was like growing as a human, like as a person. The way he started talking to her, the way he was giving her breaks, praising her play, like and picking her brain on why she was making. And she's also, in my opinion, she's the reason why he beat Netero as well too. Because she taught him how to anticipate moves and think ahead.
Right. I agree.
Listen, dude, and it was crazy because the juxtaposition, okay? We're being trained at this whole point throughout this whole arc, the ants are the bad ones, okay? the exterminator. Meanwhile, he's becoming more and more understanding. And he literally, people forget, he would not fight Nidorou. Remember, he wouldn't make an offensive. He let Nidorou attack him twice in a row, a very powerful attack that probably anybody else that's dead. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he calmly crawls out of the hole, praises the attack, and resumes kneeling or sitting on the ground. You know what I mean? And so I'm just like, this dude is really grown. It's like, he said, you know, no actions you do will sway me. The only thing that will is, you know, your words. So, and Nidorou said himself, I got to do this quickly or he might, you know, convince me to do something else.
Because Nidorou, I think that's the other reason why Nidorou felt like he couldn't reason with him, because he didn't want to get persuaded into, like, showing him. Because honestly, what we saw is at the end of the day, like all of the Chimerians, they kind of became more and more human. Like they kind of started acting more and more human-like because of the traits that they picked up.
Yeah, like the ants, like pretty much like the end of the Chimera Antarch really messed us up, because it's like, you know, when we first met the ants, they was going off instincts and what the queen said, but like as we really started to meet them. The ones that like came from being human, you know, they started to pick up their human traits again and like their memory. So it's like, damn, a lot of them are like still human on the inside.
Yeah.
Still got their memories and everything.
Bro, like, what was the name of the octopus? Calvin?
Ecalgo or something?
Oh, yeah, something like that. He earned my respect because after he got worked out by Killua told him he thought he was cool, and because he never had somebody be that friendly to him, he's like, dude, let's be friends. I'm gonna rescue this nigga. You know, rescued him and flipped sides. And then at the end, the guts he had to try to prevent Wolfen, Welfin and the other one down there, the crawfish type dude.
Yeah.
Like,
and he held his
own. Like,
Ikago really held his own too. And like literally he did it all in the name of friendship, because he had people who actually treated him with care, like they really banged with him.
Who's the other one?
It was good for Killua too.
What's the one with the god access? What was the one with the god access part? You know, where he would completely drop off? The chameleon type dude?
Oh, Malarion?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Dude had my respect too, man. He was so important to the whole plan. He was
definitely essential.
It was beautiful seeing how these ants, like I was saying, like the whole thing was they developed the character so well, who was once the antagonist was seemingly becoming the protagonist, you know, at that point. And then like, there's this video on YouTube I saw today. Somebody synced up all four different point of views of the invasion, because you know, for like four episodes, it shows you different point of views of the invasion that were all going on simultaneously, because you know, narrator tells you all this happened in like a 3-minute span or something. Somebody put all those together on one screen so you could see the entire invasion going on together. Like, number one, shout out to Zeno, because listen, Zeno Zoldy, that nigga is a legend, dang.
Monster.
Over it on that dragon.
Bro, like, you saw how uncanny they
always
were?
Got the dragon. Bro. Yes, bro.
Everybody literally,
bro, like, as soon as they rolled in, they didn't care about nothing.
They was
going
smoke, bro. It was exactly. And look, looking at that, because I was like, man, that's what like Gon and Killua could be if they got older. Like that dynamic where they really destroying everybody, wrecking anything. Because I think if Zeno stayed with Nidorou to fight, that they actually could have beat Meriem and maybe, you know, stayed alive. I think one of them would have died, but you know, one of the other ones could have lived. But Meriem wouldn't have made it out.
But remember, Nidorou was, I mean, but remember, Zeno was hired only to separate the king, not to fight the king. So, but that was crazy, bro. Like, he's got some, he has to have some of the most powerful Nin, because he's the only person I've seen make their Nin rideable. You know, he made the dragon and they rode it into battle. And then, you know what I'm saying, P2 thought she had it figured out, was going to meet them in there. And then he calmly just turned it into a complete, like, barrage in the dragon dive. And they start raining fire down on them. I'm just like, oh Lord. P2 comes up thinking she about to meet them in the air. And then Nidorou's like, out of all the moves you could have made, this is the bad move. Then he calmly does the He does the 99. I don't know which hit he used, but whatever it was, sent her flying. You know what I'm saying? That's when I was like, okay, we get.
Yeah, that's what I also saw. Like, all right, Netero really is as strong as he's supposed to be because he was out there serving.
Was he in socks?
Yeah.
I've wondered about that for a few days.
Yeah, Netero has socks on.
I mean, that's what it looked like. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought he was in like regular smegular socks. And that's why I was just like, bro, what is this? But he had on that special shirt he only wears for, you know, big fights. Yeah, and then he cut his hair and shaved a little bit too. I was like, yeah, this nigga, he determined. I don't know, somebody gonna die. Either him or somebody else. So.
Or what?
But that was awesome. And then it showed us just how human and how much the king had grown, because when they're raining this fire down and they go to where they're supposed to go, there's the king not even acknowledging their presence yet. He's trying to tend to Komugi. Now, mind y'all, he'd been playing the world's best in every like strategic board game up to this point, okay? And if he defeated you, he was going to kill you, which also reminded me of Alibaba's, like, 30 days or whatever it's called? I forget. 1,000 Nights in Arabia or something like that, where he used to kill all his wives after, you know, every night. And so one of his wives told him a story so compelling he had to keep around. Well, essentially, it was like the same thing, except she was just so cold at her game, he couldn't get rid of her because he couldn't beat her. And even when he got better, she got better. And then she started using Ning. So, you know what I'm saying? We see him developing, and he realized, like, she had made him weak, essentially, in his eyes. And so he was going to her room to kill her, gets in there, and he sees a bird attacking her, like a hawk or something. And instead of killing her, he kills the hawk and then asks why she didn't, you know, call out or get somebody help. And she's like, you know, she just didn't want to be, you know, like a burden. So you can see he has feelings at that point because he tries to tend to her wounds, and then he immediately instructs the royal guard to also watch over her moving forward. So that's when I knew this dude was like becoming a likable character. Like, I couldn't help it. I hated him initially, and now it's like, this dude's like my new favorite character. Now, I know I can't be the only one who saw the sale.
Nah, he's definitely sale.
I remember seeing him. I was like, dude, am I tripping? Does this nigga look like Perfect Sale and act like him too,
yeah,
in a little way?
With sale and everything.
But, I was gonna say, but it made sense. It made perfect sense at that point. And so, meanwhile, you know what I'm saying? After they've injured Komugi and it looks like she's dead, he immediately sends P2 to start repairing her with her special ability. In barges, you know, and then he calmly agrees. Like, he says himself, like, that's when I knew he grew. He was like, I don't think this is the place to do it. Like, let's change venue. Excuse me. He was like, let's change venues. Let's fight elsewhere so nobody else gets hurt. When he said that before they did, I was like, wow, what growth. And then you see Zeno, you know what I'm saying? He got on Netero. He was like, this isn't what I signed up for. Because he didn't know that the king was this cool. Or I'm not going to say cool, but, you know, this much human, if you will. So that was fire. And then Enbarge is gone, and that's when it gets real. Gone was ready to take her out on sight.
Gone came in wanting to smoke.
Man, like, dude, he looked so evil. Like, and it was crazy because it was like him and the king were on opposite journeys, like the same journey except in reverse. Who had once been such a good kid is now being actively driven. You said what?
Podcast does not want me to be great.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where you
were. Yeah. Kick me out.
It's all good. You're back now. I was saying, it seemed like. Did he just leave again?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I heard the weird sound thing. I was gonna say it was like Gon and the king were on the exact same journey except going opposite directions, because Gon had been so personable. He'd been such a good guy. Now here he was, driven by fury and evil, essentially. Like, he didn't care about, he was willing to sacrifice his own life just to kill somebody, just out of revenge and out of guilt, because he, you know what I'm saying, because he couldn't protect and save Kite. Meanwhile, you got the king, who was once cruel and evil, now becoming such a good guy overall, caring about his subjects and everything, you know what I mean? So that juxtaposition was cool. And then, you know, in comes Gon, barging into the room, pulls up on her, and is ready to destroy her right then and there. And he listens to her. Like, what did she do? She rip her arm off or she broke her arm?
She broke it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. She took that from the king, though, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, the king.
How he, you know, ripped his own arm off to as a sign of trust.
Again, that's another...
That was another development, too,
in terms of them, you know, using trust and, you know, using the people characteristics that, you know, animals may not, you know, be displaying.
Yeah, because when he ripped his arm off, I know that was crazy, actually, because he thought the only way he could beat her was by using fear and greed, but she didn't desire anything. And she didn't fear anything because she told her she was going to kill herself, you know, if she ever lost the game.
Funny.
So
he was so like, small afterwards. He did all that, tried to like sound so smart, like trip her up. He's like, oh. I felt like he also did because he was like partially embarrassed. Like he felt like he had to atone for his actions and his behavior.
Oh, yeah, true, because he was like, you know, I really have to stoop this low in order to get a win. Like, he was like, yeah, you know what, I'm sorry. Here's the arm I was betting you anyway. Rips it off casually. Here comes Shyapu.
Oh, my God.
We must repair him immediately. Slaps the shit out of him with his tail. That was like, that was a huge moment there. And then he voluntarily gave her a rest.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, yeah, this dude, I was like, I don't know if he's falling for her or if, like, the friendship is so pure. Like, did y'all think that was a platonic love they had, or did y'all think it was something more?
That was like pure love to me.
I think it was pure love. But I don't know, cause like I don't know if the king, like I don't know if he could like feel love in that regard. Like, I think it's more so just like an aspect of like having like true companionship, because both of them never really had that. Like they both never had somebody that they could just care for, or somebody would like care for them in that regard. Like, the king never cared about nobody like that. He didn't care about the royal guard, he didn't care about his mom, but like he began to care about Komaki.
Right. And like, okay. I can give you that one.
Her family,
yeah, I was on Reddit.
He didn't have nobody Reddit, like, she could fall back to. That's why she was like, if she lost, she would kill her.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I was gonna say, because like I was on Reddit reading about that, and a lot of people think that he fell in love with her, but he didn't know what love was to understand that's what he was feeling.
I mean, I can still make that argument, like, but I don't know, it can go both ways, I guess.
Right, but I mean, regardless, it was love in its purest form, and we were seeing the king being transformed as a result. Now we can get to the fight itself, because listen, bro, I knew when they gave that background, you know, when they were taping, when Zeno was getting taped talking about Nidoran being so strong, and then they showed the background of him, dude went outside, because he was, how old was he all, 45, 46?
Who, Nidoran?
Yeah, Nidoran was like 45 or 46 when he started with 10,000 punches and prayers a day. He went out there and threw 10,000 perfect prayers and 10,000. He would do 10,000 prayers, 10,000 punches a day to be show his gratefulness and gratitude to martial arts changing his life and bringing him to that point in his life. Took him. Yeah, that's OD. It's OD. It took him 18 hours the first time. And then after enough work, he was getting it done and the sun was still up. And then he was getting it done in an hour. So he finally, after like 10 years on this mountain training, went back to this dojo. He comes in dirty, smirking, you know what I'm saying? And as he goes into the prayer move, the dojo master starts crying. Tears are streaming from his face. And he does his punch. He does his punch, but the sound comes afterwards. That's when you knew this nigga had to sing.
Yeah, bro. He was on a whole nother level.
And then the dojo master offered him the dojo, like, gave him the dojo, and then also said, please take me as your student.
And I respect
that. That's what you knew, like.
You could have been a sore loser and just died. he gave him the dough. Really? It was purely out of respect.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because the Heat had literally achieved, I think, I want to say they were essentially saying that that was perfect.
Yeah. Form.
And so he perfected his, I want to call it a jutsu. He perfected his nin usage, nin style, whatever you want to call it. And so he gets, so after that flashback, they get back into the fight. He's using it to its full ability on the King Ant. And the first time it moved so fast, you know, the King Ant wasn't even prepared. But, you know, he's like, great attack. Calmly takes a seat again. And it's just like, you know, but you're not gonna change my mind on anything by doing that. You're gonna have to talk it out with me. That's when you knew he had progressed too, because, you know, imagine if he tried that tactic with the King before. The King would have probably killed him on sight. And the fight itself is just so fire. The music with the choir.
Yeah, bro.
Ugh. Dog, like.
I was just hurt. I was hurt Netero didn't. Like, I was hurt he died. And, like, he definitely. Netero definitely put in the work, but, like, I just didn't want him to. They want him to die. Like, honestly, that's really all it was.
And it was crazy because after all the work he put in, Komugi was the reason. That the King was beating him. King learned to anticipate and think ahead because of her. And so you got Netero being beaten right now by the King because the King is like moving ahead. And the King, you know, determined to learn his name, said, I'm gonna checkmate you without taking your life. Like, I'm gonna beat you without taking your life. So he rips off his leg first. And that was crazy because Netero just calmly, he made his leg pucker, bro.
Yeah.
That was so fire to me, bro. Like, he stopped the bleeding and all that, bro. Like, that was fire. Now, your will.
That goes to say, too, because, like, even when we saw what Netero was doing, the keep away with the ball with Gon and Killua, like, when they actually were able to, like, touch Netero, they're like, his body was, like, hard as steel. You know, so Miriam was so strong that he was able to do that to him.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. And then, like, right after he takes his leg, he takes his arm. But the narrator tells us it was over 10,000 blows exchanged in under a minute.
Yeah, that's OD.
You know, that we're just, yeah, that we're literally just getting, he tells us we're literally, you know, we're seeing in slow-mo, but over 10,000 blows are exchanged. And then the King rips off his other arm. And so, and that was so trill, bro. Netero said, oh, you think I can't press one hand? Then he released the zero punch. That was just a blast stupid. Of war. Oh. Bruh. The GOAT. He the GOAT.
Yeah,
he'll prove otherwise. He's the GOAT of the Hunter Association. You know, and of course, he loses. But I mean, it's crazy because he unleashes the poor man's rose. Well, he lost because he lost, but he won. He killed off the King.
But he just died. But he won. Came in there with the mentality of, no matter what, I'm gonna kill the King. And he did. Even while the King got help, like, it only kept him alive a little bit longer. But the inevitable was.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Technically, he did, but I'm saying he lost because the King died being more human than he and the entire Hunter Association, you could argue. They forced the King to fight when he was trying. Remember, he said he was trying to get rid of inequality. He said he was going to make it non-existent. He had a space where humans would survive for eternity.
And he also,
you know what I'm saying?
He brought up a good point because, you know, his first kind of interaction with, like, humans, it was with that tyrant that was in the NGF. Yeah. And so, like, it was, like, a lot of humans that were terrible people. And a lot of the Chimera Ants, like, it was either, like, villagers, innocent people, or it was, like, you know, mafia people, you know, like, a lot of criminals, bad guys. So they definitely got, they saw different aspects of people, but it was a lot of negativity that they saw from people as well, where the King felt like he had to save people from themselves as part of his job.
So that was important, but he releases the dead man's rose. in a, I had nuclear bomb, atomic or nuclear bomb. The fallout is what, the fallout's what kills people. He really had the king beat, though. The king couldn't move or nothing. Remember, the king had no arms, no legs, no nothing.
Yeah.
And so the king starts consuming his royal guards in order to survive and get his body back. He does, and so he takes their powers, too. And then that's when he realizes there's something. It was crazy. He knew how strongly, how much he loved Kumugi, because despite all that, he knew there was something missing in his life. He just couldn't remember what exactly. So he's searching for the feeling, and they're trying to make sure he doesn't remember her. And that's when Poof realizes he's dying, you know, from poison. I thought Welfin had killed what's his name? The other ant.
Which one? With his missiles.
Yeah, I thought he had killed him with his missiles, but it was actually the poison.
Right.
And then you knew the king had grown, because when he interacted with Welfin and everything, he was telling everybody essentially, like, you know what I'm saying, you can do whatever you want. I'm not here to control you. You know, I'm just seeking certain information.
Good point.
He didn't kill Knuckles and what's his name? The chameleon type dude, when he could have. He just asked him the questions he wanted to know. So you knew he had grown exponentially. And then the biggest sign of his, he was willing for somebody he could have easily killed without about it.
Yeah.
He was willing to beg for information.
Oh, yeah. Because literally he cared that much.
Yeah, bro. Like that right there is the start of my tears, bro. I was like, I know this dude does not. For this girl, but
the same person that killed his mom and just randomly killing people just does he can, because I'm the king and I can kill and nobody can stop me.
Yeah, bro, I was like, there's no way this dude's grown that much, but he had grown that much.
Yeah.
And so it was beautiful to watch. And then he, you know, he informed her. He was like, you know, we have another game to play, you know, we're not done yet. Tells her while they're playing, like, I've been poisoned, I don't have long, and if you stay in close proximity to me, you're gonna catch it too. And she was like, I would, you know, it would be my honor. I don't know if, you know, I'm high enough, but it would be my honor to stay here and die with you. So they keep playing until, I think the king loses his sight. That's why he kept asking, is she there? I think he went blind. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, he asked if she can hold his hand, say his name again, dog, and I started boohooing, bro. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, bro, it was tough.
It was, you know what I'm saying? And
especially because we saw it, like, when Palm was reporting it. Palm was in tears, and, like, you know, she's not that type of person, you know? So, because Palm, she's normally known for being, like, crazy and angry, but, you know, she was really showing, you know, how sad it was, too. It was just like, ugh. I was hurt, bro.
Man, and it's crazy because you knew how evil and the potential the ants had, because Nav had one of the most important roles on the extermination team. He had to set the portals in the palace for them, you know, to be able to exit and get in there.
Yeah.
And you remember how he wigged out because he felt P2's Nin? No, that was her EN that she was using. Yeah, you know how he literally went bald, bro, and had a mental breakdown and couldn't be a part of the rest of the mission.
Yeah.
And then you saw how Welfin reacted when Miriam started talking to him, Miriam, how do you pronounce it? Because, you know, he thought he was gonna get ate, like, he lost all his hair on his head and everything too. Like, he still looks the same. So there was that. And then, like, man, that made me emotional. And then the craziest part, you think that would be like the climax or you'd start like the falling action after that, right? No. We still gotta see Gon with with P2,
bro.
And you know the reason P2 died so fast too is actually Pooh's fault, because remember he lied to her saying they rescued Kumugi so that so she wouldn't, like, you know, think she was still being, you know, dealing with the hostage situation, when in reality he hadn't. So she lied, you know, she told him, she was like, Kaidi's dead, she fixed arms, and then casually tells him, like, I'm gonna have to kill you. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? So they went out into that forest, and that was that. Gon was fed up.
Yeah. It was all bad from that.
Bro, I thought he had turned evil at first, because, you know, his body was just black and white energy. I thought he finally, you know, thought he lost it.
And again, that's big on character development, because Gon was, like, the most positive, optimistic, happy-go-lucky, you know, yeah, Gon would get mad if something happened to his friends, but like he was still a real positive person. Like we ain't never seen him in that type of light till then. And it was just like, oof, that's tough.
It really was, man. And he was crying the whole time he was like killing her. And he was so obsessed with it, you know, remember her body was headless.
Yeah.
And he was still, her body was headless and he was still doing it. And then when she revived because of Nin and came back twice as powerful, he allowed her to cut off his arm so he could, you know, experience how Kite did.
Mm-hmm.
And then continued to go in on her, like, bro. And then it was crazy seeing his grown man body too, what he looked like, because his hair was so tall. I don't know if that was just because the power or what.
I don't know, but it looked dope. You know. Like, oh yeah, it would have been really dope to see if that's how Gon really would have been.
I mean, he should be fine now. What his pop said is that he's just back, he's normal again, which probably means he's gonna have to reopen his pores to start using them again.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what, you know, hopefully we can get from either the Dark Continent. And you know, we can find something that can help him get his Nin back.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be a focus. But the main thing is that this was one of the best arcs in any type of manga anime I've ever read or watched. It was beautiful. It was heartbreaking. Like, dog, it had me on the edge of the seat a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because there was a lot of deaths in this one. A lot of deaths of regular human characters who we never knew anything about, and of hunters alike. A lot of people died and took a lot of ills. So, for me, it's up there, man. It's top five. It's top five ever. I'd have to think of like some that are.
Yeah, it's hard really for me that are better, at least off top of my head. Especially because it also had the fight scenes, like all the different fight scenes that took place, like not even just like with the king and Netero and Gon. It would be like, you know, people like Moro and, you know, Knuckles and Shoot, like even their character development, like, you know, obviously they're lower end on the spectrum, but you know, they were still pivotal, you know, for the show, you know, like, and they were great scenes. It wasn't like we talked about, it wasn't like full of filler or anything like that. It was, you know, a lot of action.
Right. It was so well done. So much character development, so much great action, so much great background given. Like, you learned.
Yeah.
So that was huge for me. And that's why we hold it in such high regards over here at One Punch, y'all. Like, this is, I don't know how I ever slept on the show, and that arc alone made me a believer. If I hadn't watched anything else but that arc.
Yeah.
I would have been made a believer. And I didn't think there was an anime that could do something like that or make me feel the way I felt. But it did.
Glad. I'm glad, bro.
Like, I literally remember a few days ago I had tweeted out, I said, I'm starting Hunter x Hunter. And James immediately tweeted me and was like, I promise you're going to enjoy it. And I was just like, I hope so. Should have been and started it.
Yeah, bro.
And
it's too good.
Essentially, what we're giving here, folks, we're rating it. It gets 5 stars. It gets without a 10 out of 10. It gets the worst. We're telling you guys. We're telling everybody. If you're watching, listening, whatever, listen to us. Go watch Hunter x Hunter. Make sure you get to the Chimera Ant arc or start there. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, get there. Watch the show. It's that good. It's an automatic watch if you want to get an anime. Yeah, and but you know what I'm saying, we've been talking to y'all a while tonight, you know what I'm saying, but that was the main focus for today, Hunter x Hunter. We want to thank special guest Mr. James Walker for coming on, you know what I'm saying, that's a dog, we go back. Drop your at, man, so anybody can follow
you. Yeah, man, at James D. Walker II, or just at James Walker, so, or just James Walker II, yeah, so.
Yeah, man, y'all make sure y'all go give him a follow. Y'all follow One Punch Podcast. We're going to have more and more content. We're going to make James and both Shakir, who was, you know, in and out,
we'll
tonight. They're going to start being regulars on the show for sure, because they have that expertise in anime. But you heard it here. Make sure y'all go tune in. Watch Hunter x Hunter. And we are going to tap in with y'all another day. We have hit our recordings for the week. We're going to edit these up and get them on out there to y'all. And again, appreciate young James for coming on today, man. You take it easy.
Much love, my dog. Appreciate you, brother.
root. All right, y'all. Y'all take it easy. I heard it here first on One Punch Podcast. Be safe and watch Hunter. All right, y'all. Signing out.